If you want to be there, then out here you must prepare. Then your name will be in the book of life. Get down on your knees and pray, you from sin must turn away, or your name won't be in the book of life. If you turn to Jesus now, at his feet just humbly bow, then your name will be in the book of life. Christ once said that from sin you must repent, so your name could be in the book of life. You will have a great surprise if you fail to recognize that your name must be in the book of life. Get down on your knees and pray, you from sin must turn away, or your name won't be in the book of life. Don't delay and don't forget that from sin you must repent. Then your name will be in the book of life. Get down on your knees and pray, you from sin must turn away, or your name won't be in the book of life. Don't delay and don't forget that from sin you must repent. Then your name will be in the book of life. Then your name will be in the book of life.
Over the years as a pastor, I've been teaching on assurance of salvation. But when you start talking to different people about assurance of salvation, there always comes up the debate. A person can never be sure that he is saved because there is a chance he will one day fall away. Well, I want to explain in this message how these things work. Can a person fall away from salvation? Can he leave salvation? Well, I want to bring this into the natural. Once you're born into a family, your father will always be your father, regardless how you change your name and how you try to run away from him. He will forever stay your father. So it is like when you become born again. The Lord God will always, for the rest of eternity, remain your father because you were born by his Spirit, if you're truly born again by the Spirit of God. And these arguments can go on because somebody seems to know somebody who knows somebody that fell away and fell away from the grace of God. That is an impossible thing. If a person turns to the Lord for salvation, then he becomes a child of the kingdom of God. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. And anyone who falls away, who turns away from God, never really wanted to be there, because the Bible clearly states that. So today I will be teaching on this interesting subject, because we are in a day when we definitely need to understand our salvation and to be assured of. The end times are upon us. The things that have been written in the Word of God are definitely coming to pass all over the planet. And God wants us to be assured that we know where we stand. We need to understand that Jesus wants us to be at peace. He wants us to be at ease and not be anxious. We can see how the world trembles in fear because of the coronavirus. And I'm afraid there are also many Christians who tremble in fear because of what's going on. The Bible teaches us perfect love casts out fear. And if you truly are born again, the spirit of fear will not have dominion over you. So today, before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I ask you, Lord, that you will anoint this message, will open people's hearts to the truth of the signs of the times. And Lord God, you will open people's hearts to assurance of salvation. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. In Acts chapter 3 in verse 19, there is an interesting scripture that goes like this. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When we study this scripture, it clearly teaches us on how to get into the kingdom of God. When we look at religious organizations, they think they teach that repentance means to quit sinning. Yes, it's right and good that a person should quit sinning. As far as I'm concerned, he shouldn't even start sinning, but that's our nature, and we cannot help ourselves because we have been born sinners. So it tells us here, repent you therefore. What does the word repentance mean? It means to turn away from the way you think you're going to be saved and be converted. If you think you're going to be saved by the religious organization that you're in, by stopping sinning, by going to church or by joining a church, if you think that's repentance, it's not. Repentance, you need to do a total turnaround on how you think you're going to be saved. And then when you do that, you turn to Jesus, and then you are converted. That means you become something new. You become a new creation. You are converted. You become somebody else. And then your sins may be blotted out. That is interesting, because after the conversion, after you become a new creation, your sin is blotted out. The Bible teaches us that sin was destroyed in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that happens when the Holy Spirit calls upon you. That is when the time of refreshing. It's the Holy Spirit calling upon you to turn to him. And many, many people hear that call, but they cannot give up their worldly possessions. They cannot give up their worldly systems and their religious organizations. It is far too much for them to give up. So they go on until the voice becomes dimmer and dimmer. The Bible teaches us, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, so that you will have a citizenship in heaven. It doesn't necessarily talk about money here. It talks about the idol and God that is in your heart. And in many cases, it is money, because people have learned to lean on money for their security, and that means you're leaning on an idol. In today's society, many people believe that they're Christians. Regardless where you go in North America, everybody calls himself a Christian. And we can see today, when you listen to the news, that there are quite a few pastors that are being caught in pedophilia. They are leaders of churches. They're into pornography. Pastors and priests are having sex with young children that are no more than 5 years old. It's all over the news already. The other day I heard of a pastor who was arrested in Texas. He was the main pastor of a big church. He was into selling child pornography. And that's a tare amongst the wheat, regardless how good he talks about Jesus and how good he performs in front of people. Listen to the parable of the tares and the wheat. It tells us, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence have these tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then we go and gather them up? And he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together the first the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So the Bible teaches us here that tares and wheat grow together. And what I have learned throughout the years is that tares and wheat in their young stage look very much alike. It's hard to tell the difference. But when the fruit is brought forth, that's when you see the difference. And I believe as we get closer to the end, as the time of harvest, the real harvest, the letter rain harvest will be ready to be brought into the kingdom, the tares will manifest themselves. I am pretty sure of that. It is already happening. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 31, Simon Peter was one of the disciples, as we all know. And we know that Judas was also one of the disciples. When you study what those two did, Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, and Simon Peter denied the Lord three times. So when you really look at it from the natural, both sins are exactly the same. There is not much difference as far as sin is concerned. But Jesus saw the difference in Simon, and he saw the difference in Judas. He saw what the difference was between them. And here is what the salvation of Simon Peter was. It's not that he was a good guy. He did the same thing as Judah. But Jesus knew his heart. Jesus saw his heart. Listen to what the Lord says in Luke chapter 22 in verse 31. That's just before the crucifixion. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. First of all, it tells us that Jesus prayed for Simon Peter, that his faith will not fail. That's where his anchor was. It was in Jesus. And then Jesus says, when you're converted, before the crucifixion, our sins were not paid for yet. But after the crucifixion, that's when the conversions begin. That's when you started to enter into the kingdom of God. That's when the dead in Christ rose and went into the cities, and later on they went to be with the Lord, because these Old Testament saints had their conversion and were then allowed into the kingdom. So this is how it works. Simon, after you're converted, that's when you strengthen the brethren. So a person, when he's born again, is converted by the Spirit of the living God, he becomes a new creation. In Philippians chapter 1 in verse 6, it tells us that the Apostle Paul tells us he is confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus starts a work in you, the Apostle Paul is confident, he tells us, that God will finish that work. So when you're born again by the Spirit of God, that's when the work of Jesus begins. And he will perform it all the way to when, for the rest of eternity, basically, when you really think about it. It's the Holy Spirit in you that keeps you from failing, that keeps you from falling. And once you accept that Jesus into your heart, that's when the Holy Spirit comes to make his residence. So God wants us to understand these things. He wants us to be assured of our salvation. The conversion of a person is very, very important. In 1 John chapter 5 in verse 10, there is a very interesting scripture. It tells us this: he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. You feel it, you understand that the Holy Spirit is within you. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. So there's two types of people. One that believes in God, he has the witness, he's assured. The other, who doesn't believe in God, he makes God a liar because he doesn't believe what God did for us through his Son. And what did he do? It tells us, this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. It's not in our religious exercises. It's in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. So we have to be assured here. We have to see this. Those who have the Son have life. Those who have not the Son have not life. And that's talking about eternal life. It tells us, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not hope or think or maybe or if or but, it says that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. So do you know that you have eternal life? The Bible teaches us you can know. If you're not sure that you're going to heaven, if you're not sure that you have eternal life, you need to do some homework if you truly want to go to heaven. So let the Lord open your heart to those interesting scriptures and make you a blessing. Amen.
He said the time for sacrifice has come. Our sins must be covered. Our wrongs must be atoned. The younger one said, I don't understand why our sins can't be forgiven without the killing. Sins away, there will come a day. but he knew the plan of God would have to be. And in just a few short hours, he would die on Calvary. His humanity cried, Lord, any other way. His divinity rose up and said, this price I'll have to pay. And just before the Father turned away, he said,
there will come a day, your defeat will turn to victory, for the cross that you carried bears the weight of all the world. There will come a day when the blood stains in your hands declare the hope for every man.
Oh, my child,
there will come a day.
Each day that we live among sin's awful curse, the evidence of darkness seems to only get much worse. We cry to God in anguish, Lord, how long will you allow this evil world to just and we can hear his voice. He calls our downcast souls to rise. Rejoice,
rejoice, he says, there will come a day that reveals the King of glory and the mighty name of Jesus.
Over the last 30 to 40 years as a Christian, I have had quite a few debates on whether a person can still fall away from the grace of God once he is born again by the Spirit of God. I was listening to a debate, I was watching a debate on Facebook on whether our future sins are forgiven at the cross. And this guy wrote a very long article how our future sins are not forgiven. It was very interesting, so I studied the whole thing about the 5-10 minute paragraph that you had to read. And then one guy simply destroyed all his explanations by claiming, by saying this: a person has no future sin. We do not live in the future. We live in the now, and there is no such a thing as a person having future sins. So that argument was blown away just by a simple explanation, which makes natural sense. So the question is, how about if somebody does fall away after he has been a Christian for years, he's talked the language, He has been with the believers, and everybody believes that he belongs to God. And he all of a sudden decides, this is not for me. And of late, I have heard of people who do that. They would even be in the ministry of preaching the gospel. Then all of a sudden, they decide, this is not for me. This does not make sense to me. In John, in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 19, there is an interesting scripture that all people should pay attention to. It tells us this: they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So what this scripture is really telling us, they never truly were born again by the Spirit of God. That is why they left Christianity. So here's your answer. If you know somebody who knows somebody who left Christianity. When I became a Christian, I could not believe how fortunate I was. Because I have been brought up in religion where you had to do this and that and this and that to keep, to try to get into the kingdom of God. And when God opened my eyes to the truth of salvation, I could not believe my good fortune. At first, I thought it must be the English Bible that I'm not really supposed to be reading as far as my religion was concerned. Maybe there was an error there. Maybe it was written wrong. So I studied the German Bible on the same passage. And lo and behold, it had the exact same explanation. So when I saw that Jesus died for me on the cross, that he took my sin upon himself. Now all I have to do is turn to him and ask him for forgiveness or whatever you want to do. I didn't even say I asked for forgiveness. What I said was, Lord, you give it to me and thank you. You've said it, I didn't. So I believe that what I'm reading is true. You give me salvation without any input for myself. All I'm doing is I'm accepting that. Yes, I repented of many things after that. But when the initial salvation came, I accepted it completely. Will I ever leave that salvation? Never ever, because that is the most important treasure in my life. This is what I have been looking for since I've been born. I remember as a young kid wanting to go to heaven. Now finally I found the way into heaven. How awful and how idiotic and how stupid it would be. I don't even know if there's a word you could put there for me to leave such a way of salvation, for me to reject what God is offering. There are no words for anybody who would do that. Anyways, I can't think of one. But the truth of the matter of the fact is that salvation is given by grace through faith in what Jesus did on the cross for that. And anyone who goes to heaven, anyone who wants that salvation can take it. And if he leaves, if he allows it to slip through his hands, then he never really was interested in the first place. That's why it says they went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they surely would have continued with us. So open your heart to these interesting truths and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us.